Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17 describe a day in the future when God's terrible, unmitigated wrath will be poured out upon this earth. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, the Christian martyrs under the altar in heaven cry out, "O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" They are told to wait a little while. And then it comes to pass when the sixth seal is opened in verse 12. The wrath of God is dreadful. The wrath of God is visited upon this earth by a great earthquake, the sun becoming black as sackcloth, the full moon becoming like blood, the stars of the sky falling to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale, the sky vanishing like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island removed from its place. This is figurative language, but it expresses something exceedingly dreadful. The horrible judgment. The wrath of God. The wrath of God is so dreadful that the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free try to hide themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." The wrath of God is inescapable. The kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful are the men of this earth who have the authority, the power, and the wealth to get things done. They might normally have reason to feel secure, but they are panic-stricken because they cannot escape the great day of the wrath of God. The wrath of God is executed by a lamb. The lamb who was slain on the earth but rose from the dead is the one who executes God's wrath. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Verse 16 and 17 says, "The great men of the earth were calling to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" That question in chapter 6, verse 17, is answered in Revelation chapter 7. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. Who can stand in the great day of God's wrath upon this earth? Revelation chapter 7 is an interlude in the events that will take place in the last days, which had begun to be described in chapter 6. The outpouring of wrath will resume in chapter 8. But chapter 7 is a parenthesis, and it answers the question, who is able to stand? The question is answered in chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Who is able to stand? A great, innumerable multitude of people from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages is able to stand. They are sealed, they are saved, and they are satisfied. First of all, I want you to notice that they are sealed on earth. We are given a view of this great multitude from two vantage points. First, we see them on earth, and then we see them in heaven. We see them on earth in chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. "And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. Now there are various views as to who the 144,000 are. But I take it that they are the same as the great multitude of verse 9. In verses 4 through 8, they are depicted as spiritual Israel and they are on the earth. In verse 9, they are this great innumerable multitude and they are in heaven. Why do I think the two groups are the same? Well, in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God promised Abraham that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. From Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob. God promised Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verse 12, that he would make his descendants as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, who became the nation of Israel. And from the nation of Israel came the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It is through Jesus Christ that God fulfilled His promise to Abraham. Read Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 sometime. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised fruit through faith. The church is the beneficiary of God's promise to Abraham. God's people of the Old Testament, Israel, develop into God's people of the New Testament, the church of Jesus Christ. Now in the book of Revelation, this multitude that is saved out of the great tribulation is portrayed in figurative language as spiritual Israel. This 144,000 figure, 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel, is a literary device to represent this innumerable multitude of God's people who will be saved from the earth. 144,000, 12 times 12,000, symbolize God's sealed people, the church. They are sealed. This is a different seal from the seven-sealed scroll. This seal means that they are marked out by God. This seal is not some literal physical mark on God's people, but it represents God's ownership. This multitude belongs to God out of the people of the earth. This seal is probably the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament teaches that we as Christians are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 sometime for the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." In a statement that summarizes the significance of this sealing, Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19 with these words, "But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His." The fact that these people are sealed does not exclude them from all difficulties. They will suffer on earth and they are subject to physical death. But when they die, they are taken to heaven. That is where we see them in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Saved in heaven. This 144,000 sealed on earth become God's servants around the throne. Saved in heaven. What do they do there? They worship God and they serve Him. How did they get there? They died. Revelation chapter 7 verse 14 says they came out of the great tribulation. I take that to mean the whole church age. The church has always been in tribulation throughout history and is today. This multitude came from the earth. They are just like you and me. One time they were down here on earth, and now they are up there in heaven around the throne of God. How did they get there? Revelation chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 says, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.' While they were still living on earth, before they died, they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they were saved. Salvation is of God. And they give God credit for it in verse 10, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' But you have to hear the message and of the gospel, and you have to respond to it with repentance and faith. That is what they did while they were still living on earth. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and they made them white. They are there because they looked to Jesus Christ in faith and followed Him in their lives on earth. They are sinners who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb." We have some hymns in our hymn book that allude to this redemption of God by the blood of the Lamb that saves sinners and transports them into heaven. "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." What a contrast there is between those who are standing around the throne of God in chapter 7 and those who are crying out for the mountains and rocks to fall on them in chapter 6. They would not repent and believe on Jesus. They tried to find safety in the caves, but they should have fled for safety to Christ. They prayed to the mountains and to the rocks, but they should have prayed to the Rock of Ages. It is only by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus that you get to be in that multitude around the throne of God in heaven. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you will be in that multitude. We have seen this multitude sealed on earth and saved in heaven. Now I want you to see one last thing about them. They are satisfied forever. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The curse that man brought upon himself in Genesis chapter 3 will be lifted in heaven, and all of the tribulations and sorrows of this life will be no more." The language is symbolic. There is shelter in the presence of God. There is hunger satisfied. There is thirst quenched. There is shade from the sweltering sun. There is coolness from the scorching heat. There is guidance to the springs of living water, and the tears are wiped away. Somebody read that verse and said, God must have a big handkerchief because there are a lot of tears that need to be wiped away. Are you going to be there? to get the tears wiped away out of your eyes. Before you can ever get there, to get the tears wiped out of your eyes, you must wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Look to Jesus and be saved. Don't run to the caves for shelter. Run to Jesus. Don't pray to the mountains and the rocks. Pray to the Rock of Ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon Him and join that multitude around the throne of God in heaven one day. Let's pray.